please just eat me and get it over with.
I would hide behind mommy's legs and panic.
Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together. And we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne. You know, sometimes it's tough to see the true greatness that lives inside you, your best self, your true calling. You've heard the story of the ugly duckling, maybe, and maybe you know there are a lot of swans in the world who think they're ducks. Nothing wrong with being a duck, of course, but it can get tricky if you're really a swan. Discovering the real you, getting past the illusions of what you think of yourself, and getting through to the remarkable person you really are is a big challenge for any of us. And our response to that challenge echoes in a lot of the stories we tell. You'll hear it in this one for sure, a story called The Eagle Who Thought He Was a Chicken. It's told by the great storyteller and mime, Antonio Rocha. And I got to tell you something about Antonio. We've always loved bringing you Antonio's stories, even when the Appleseed is primarily an audio experience. If that's the experience you're having, you're going to love it. But Antonio is amazing to watch, too. There's a lot of storytelling going on in Antonio's body. And if you're getting this episode as an audio-only experience, I'd love to invite you to take a look at the video version of this episode at byuradio.org, on YouTube, or wherever you can watch podcasts in addition to listening to them. Of course, no matter how you're experiencing the Appleseed right now, we really think you're going to enjoy this. Here's Antonio Rocha, recorded live in the Appleseed studio with The Eagle Who Thought He Was a Chicken.
One day a farmer was walking home when he came upon an egg. The egg was on the side of the road, a very odd place for an egg. So he picked it up. It was not an egg that he recognized, but he thought that one of his hens would adopt it. So he went into the hen house and he deposited it there. And sure enough, one of the hens took over and sat on that egg, and you know what happens. When the chicken sits on an egg like that, it kept nice and warm, and nice and warm, and nice and warm, and all of a sudden, hi, it must be my mama. And that bird was no chicken, but he thought it was a chicken because he was there with all the other chickens. You know, it's right there and it's doing everything that chickens are doing. Chickens would go out to the yard to eat, and the bird would go out discombobulated to the yard and eat, and the chickens would come in to spend the night, and the bird would sleep with the chickens, and that happened every day. That bird was no chicken, but he thought it was. And one day, it was in the yard, you know, eating, and it saw a shadow moving. It was this circular motion. The shadow was just moving, moving, creating the circle. And there it was, watching it, and watching it. When all of a sudden, one of his friends came over and said, hey, buddy, you're looking at the wrong stuff. You're looking at the shadow. You should look at the thing that's making the shadow. Yeah, look up. No, I'm okay. It's pretty, it's nice shadow. And I said, no, you look up. Look, that's what's making the shadow. What's making? Whoa, what is that? That is ego. Mm-hmm. It's hunting. That's why it's circling like that. Yeah, and it's a raptor, so it comes down and it eats groundhogs, snakes, goes fishing, and eats chickens too. Yep. Really? And all of a sudden, that eagle folded its wings and started to dive towards the ground, towards that bird that thought it was a chicken. It was coming straight for it and coming and getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer and closer and closer, when all of a sudden it opened its wings completely flat and perched itself on the fence right in front of the bird who thought it was a chicken. "What are you doing here?"
Whoa, that was something else. I was watching your shadow. Then I was told it was you, and I look up, and you're making this amazing circle, and then you came towards me, and you're coming down, and I thought you were gonna hit me, and then you veered off, and you landed there. That was something else.
I said, "What are you doing here?"
"I live here. Yeah, I'm a chicken, and I was born over there in that house there with my mama, and I have friends. There are a lot of us outside. We're all eating here. And it's just the two of us now." "Yeah, I'm a chicken."
"You're not a chicken. You're an eagle. Open those wings and fly. I know an eagle when I see one. Open those wings and fly now."
"Listen here, it's very fancy of you to fly in and tell me who I am and all that. I know who I am. I'm a chicken, you know. I this is all the wings I have. I was born over there, and I know your agenda. I, you know, everybody ran, and I know that running right now it's not gonna do me any good. And so please don't play with your food, just get over with. Come on, get over with."
"I was going to eat you, but I see you are an eagle. Just open those wings and fly.
Please just eat me and get it over with."
"I'm not gonna eat you." And that eagle flew towards it and ever so gently held it with its long talon and flapped and flapped and started taking that bird up into the sky, and the bird was freaking out, screaming from the top of its lungs, "No, don't do that, you're gonna kill me, whoa, I'm way up high, what are you gonna do?"
And the eagle dropped it, and the bird was flying, falling through the air, falling, 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 and falling, and falling. "I'm a chicken!" And when it was about to hit the ground, the eagle rescued it last second, always very gently.
"Are you out of your mind?"
"You are out of your mind. You dropped it from way up there."
"Well, I'm going to get higher then."
And it dropped the bird again. Oh, my goodness. And then it started to scream, falling through the air. "I'm a chicken." And it was about to hit the ground once again. And the eagle picked it up.
"That's not working, is it? But I'm teaching you how to fly one way or another."
"Please just bring me down. I was so happy down there. This is not my environment. Please bring me, put me down. Don't drop me. Just put me gently down, and you never have got to see me again."
"No, I want to see you flying. Come on. I have an idea. We're going to go way up where the wind is always blowing, always strong, always stiff. Hold on tight." "It is perfect. Open the wings, please."
"Oh my goodness, it's so high I don't even understand what's going on here. This is all I have, this is all I got.
Come on. There's more in there. I can see more in there.
It hurts. From this point on, I try, but it hurts.
Of course it hurts. You've never used them. Open those wings right now. Come on, I can see you there, brother. Come on, just open the wings.
It hurts.
Of course it hurts. Come on, I can see it happening.
I don't know if I can make this.
Oh, yes, you can do it. Come on, come on. Come on, you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. I can see it. I can see it. There you have it. There you have it.
Whoa. Look at this wing. I'm an eagle. Wow. Thank you so.
That's the end of that one.
That was Antonio Rocha with The Eagle Who Thought He Was a Chicken. Now, listening to this story brings to my mind the memory of taking piano lessons when I was a kid. My mom signed me up for piano lessons when I was about 7. And for several months, I walked down the road from my house to the house of Afton Healy. And she was a great teacher, but I was a lousy student. And when it didn't take, my mom signed me up with another teacher. So I'd walk once a week to Jay Beck's house. Now, Jay was a great teacher, and I was a lousy student. And I quit before I got very good. And I figured that though I loved music and I loved to sing, maybe I just wasn't cut out to be an instrument-playing musician. Maybe I wasn't that guy. Then, in high school, I took a music theory class from my wonderful choir teacher, Lois Johnson, and it blew my mind open. Suddenly, I wanted to get my fingers on the piano keys and play around, figure stuff out. And I became a fair pianist, enough of a pianist to write cool songs on the piano, enough of a pianist to sing those songs in front of audiences and accompany myself on the piano. And with that door open, a few years later, I picked up the guitar. And I've grown into a fair guitarist. Now I'm learning to play the banjo. It's brand new for me, and I'm having a ball. All this in the life of a grown-up who used to be a kid who thought maybe he just wasn't cut out to make music on instruments. And I'm so glad I was wrong about myself, that I did have that stuff in me, and that by the grace of God and with the help of great teachers, I finally discovered it. Playing these musical instruments makes me really happy. What are some ways in which you've given up on yourself, feeling like you're not cut out for something or other you've longed to do? Ways in which you just might be wrong? I mean, wouldn't it be cool if you were wrong? Well, that's where Antonio's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? You know, next we'll hear from storyteller Jasmine Cardenas with a story she calls Rugrats. That's the name of the improv theater group she joined as a child. And Jasmine shares her experience there, an experience that challenged her to step outside her comfort zone and ultimately into the strength of who she really is. In fact, though the story is called Rugrats, Jasmine gives this story a subtitle, too. The subtitle is How I Found My Superpower. Recorded live in the Appleseed studio, here's Jasmine Cardenas.
Mommy, papi, ven, vengan, vean esto. I'd call my parents into the living room and get them to watch as I was doing a great big show. I loved to perform for my mom and dad in the living room. I was training for Star Search. And I would sing and I would dance. And I was very outgoing inside our house. But whenever we were outside our house and we met someone from church, at the grocery store, or walking down the block, a neighbor, I would hide behind mommy's legs and panic. And if they said hello to me, oh no, I had a really hard time saying hello back. My parents thought that was curious because inside the house, I was such a performer, but I was so nervous outside of our house. One day in fourth grade, I came home with a note, an invitation to join the Rugrats. It was an improv class for kids. I'd never done improv, but the note said, learn to speak up, find your voice, have fun, play games. My parents liked the find your voice part. I liked the play games part, so we signed me up. I remember showing up to Rugrats. It was in Chicago on a street called Clybourne Avenue, and it was this little brick building. And when we walked inside, it was a theater with red seats all facing towards the back, where there were the big stage and curtains. There was someone named P.K. Doyle, who was my teacher. She was a little round and smiley with wild curly hair, and she made me feel like I belonged. P.K. Doyle loved theater. She was our instructor. I don't remember all the other kids necessarily, but I do remember Piper. Piper was blonde, and she and I became BFFs. Piper lived not too far down Clybourne Avenue, and she and I loved it when Miss P.K. Doyle would have us stand up on the stage and play silly games. We kind of had the same sense of humor. One day, that first day, when we arrived, she said, okay, guys, everybody up on stage. We stood there all in a line, and P.K. walked all the way down the aisle to the back wall where she was facing us. And she said, I want you guys to say, Little Mary, thank you. I want you guys to say, Mary had a little lamb. You're going to say it together. And I want you to say it all the way to me. I want to hear you speaking clearly, but see if you know it. And we all started, Mary had a little lamb. And we started getting louder and louder and screaming, whose fleece was white as gold? We were screaming. And she said, hold on, guys. Okay. Don't scream it, because you'll hurt your lungs. I want you to say it clearly. Enunciate the words. Pretend that I'm on the other side of Clybourne Avenue, and it's important. You really want me to hear this. Try it again. No screaming. And all together, we did. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as gold. All together, strong. We did it. She said, okay, now try it like you're angry. Mary had a little lamb. Try it like you're laughing. Mary had a little lamb. She said, great. Okay, now you guys, we're going to try it again. But this time, only one of you at a time. Why don't all of you guys come down? And Jasmine, why don't you go first, okay, sweetheart? And all my friends started leaving. And I was like, oh, don't go. And all of a sudden, I was all by myself on that stage. And she said, okay, sweetheart. Mary had a little lamb just like before. Remember, it's urgent. Say it strong. I remember feeling really hot. And the lights, they were really bright. I couldn't really see anybody. And I couldn't find my voice. And I said, Mary. She said, I'll say it with you, sweetheart. Let's go. Mary had a little lamb. It's okay. She came running down the aisle. She stood up on stage with me. We'll do it together. Ready? Mary had a little lamb. Don't worry, Jasmine. You did such a good job. It's hard to be the first one up. Let's give her a hand. Come on, you guys. Okay, Piper, you're up next. And I walked down and I sat in that chair and I just felt like all the blood had rushed to my head and I could barely see. And there went Piper. So brave. I was so nervous for my BFF. I could tell we'd be friends forever. She was up there, and she was a little nervous, but I could hear her. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as gold. And everywhere, and Mary went, good job! Piper, you did it! You did it! And one at a time, all my friends were going up there and doing it. And I was so nervous. I wanted to do it too. We all got up back up on stage and she said, okay, this time you guys, pretend it's urgent, but your brother's sleeping in the other room and you can't wake him up. I knew how to do this because my brother Fabian was always grabbing my stuff when our little brother was taking a nap. And so I would always have to say, Fabian, no, my Barbies are not G.I. Joe. Get her out of there. And we would argue in whispers. So I knew how to project in whispers. Well, as the weeks went on, we were getting stronger and stronger. We'd get to class, and Piper and I, sure enough, we became really close. And we would play all sorts of silly games. And the day of the party, the day of the show, I remember we were all backstage. We got special black shirts with letters, puffy white letters, and mine said Jazz. I still have my shirt. And I was peeking through the curtains, and we could see all of our family members coming in. My mom, my dad, my brothers, my tías and my tíos, my aunts and my uncles. They were all filling in, and every seat in the theater was getting filled. Oh, man, there's a lot of people out there. And then the lights went, and we started. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. We are the great shuffling crew. We had our berets on, and we were going out like bohemian rock stars, doing all these fun pieces and elements and shows and skits. And then Piper went up to the stage, and she said, Infomercial USA, you want a product? We got it for you. Infomercial USA, come on over, everyone. And she sent it to me, and all the lights were on me, and that pink and nice warm light started to feel like a blaring white light, and I was getting nervous. But Piper said, come on, Jazz, what do they need? And I said, tar shampoo. It's not just for sanitation in streets. Come on, sticky, icky, do, shiny, just for you. Tar shampoo, $5.99. Pay it up today. And everyone started laughing. I was so nervous. But then my friends threw me another one that had to do with a fish. And I was like, fish? You want a fish? I want a fish. We all want fish. What does the fish do? Nothing. It doesn't do anything. But you know you want it. $29.99. Call today. We were having so much fun. I could see P.K. Doyle at the back of the room. And she was laughing. And my family was laughing. My brothers were pointing at me and chuckling. And at the end, they came up with flowers. And P.K. looked at me and she said, Jazz, we think you found your superpower. You can do this. And I felt like I was on the top of the world. Thank you.
That was Jasmine Cardenas with Rugrats, or How I Found My Superpower. Can you think of a time when you've stepped outside your comfort zone and found a better, stronger you, the real you, maybe? Is there a special person in your life who has encouraged you to become more than you thought you could be? Is there a fear you've overcome that once felt impossible to face? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share the stories with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share them with us. We might share them on the show. You can tag us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. We want to thank Antonio Rocha and Jasmine Cardenas for sharing their tales with us today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. Turn everyday moments into extraordinary nature adventures with the BYU Radio podcast, Constant Wonder Kids. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.